Now we go back to Apna Street. Our guide once again will be producer Julian Crandall-Hollick. Anyone who wishes to understand India's poorest people, the pavement dwellers of Bombay, now called Mumbai, must set aside conventional Western standards. On the one hand, it's easy to identify with Maila Milan, the group of poor women who banded together to gain some political power. But as we heard in our last visit to Apna Street, their idea of creature comforts differs greatly from ours. They don't want indoor plumbing because bathrooms take up valuable space. They smell, and they rob people of the chance to sit together and gossip. Windows are not built at waist height. Instead, they are set close to the ceiling to thwart thieves. Today, we explore another piece of accepted wisdom. Poor women cannot improve their lives unless they are literate. Julian Crandall-Hollick used to believe this. Now he's not so sure. He explains in why Raymat doesn't read anymore.
After Muni burnt herself to death in April 1989, the members of Maila Milan on Apna Jopadpati chose Raymat to take her place. Muni's were big shoes to fill. Muni was popular, she was literate, she was a very good public speaker. She could even talk with me in English. So it seemed to me perfectly natural a few years ago to find Tara Didi teaching Raymat to read Hindi. Next day, I went round to Raymat's hut. She was busy cooking.
Yesterday, the other women said that they hope that you're going to take Milu's place. Are you learning to read and write now?
Yes, I am learning to read and write.
Hindi padh rahi main.
Hindi abhi padh rahi hu aap. Sikha rahe barabar.
Haan, Hindi sikha.
At present, I'm learning Hindi.
Both reading and writing?
Yeah.
And Raymat was keen to become literate because she was convinced it would help her as a leader on Apna Jopadpati.
Listening to you all talk, I feel that even I should know how to understand what you all are saying. That's why.
This all seemed pretty obvious. Learning to read and write would empower Raymat. So you can imagine my surprise a couple of years later when I asked how she was getting on with her Hindi lessons.
Somebody used to come to teach me to read or write. I learned a little bit and then left it.
Why did you leave it?
Wo kyon choda?
Choda Maila Milan mein zyada kaam ho gaya hai na abhi.
There was more work in Maila Milan, so I left it.
But it wasn't quite that simple. Raymat's name came up again later that day. Jokin said Raymat had been very close to Muni. That's why she'd been asked to take over immediately after Muni's suicide.
Now, immediately after that, after she took over it, she felt that, you know, she's an undisputed leader. The taste she felt about becoming a powerful woman in the community. Thereby, the whole thing got into her head. She started behaving not in the right direction of the way Maila Milan goes.
In Raymat's eyes, learning to read and write was a way of setting herself above the rest of the women.
She tried to get onto this whole literacy, and she adopted one of our staff who was doing this class into a special tuition master. It's like one-to-one. So she was having, her book, her lesson is something, nothing to do with other in the community. So it means it didn't bring all good qualities. It's all going to destabilize, which we saw through it in 6 months' time. The community was really got hot, angry, and called for a meeting. And all of them came here, have a meeting, and started asking Raymat, how can you play all this role? without telling us. So the same thing happened to Madina when she decided that she's the superior leader, whereas the Maila Milan doesn't have one leader as such. It's a group. The same strategy was adopted to bring down Raimath also and made her accountable to the community.
What did you do? Sort of ignore her for a year?
Raimath's wings were clipped. In fairness, Raimath did acknowledge the error of her ways and is now once again an effective and respected leader. But the special literacy classes stopped. Everyone had learnt a lesson.
I think there are two things. One is talking about reaching to thousands of people. Private tuitions of imparting literacy skills is not the answer at all.
Celine de Cruz knows what she's talking about. She's a college graduate and she's worked with the pavement dwellers of Baikala for all her adult life. Celine isn't into development theory. Hers is a strictly practical philosophy based on observation of what poor women actually do and how they do it, and on a recognition that literacy is no substitute for real education.
You have to work out a way in which you can educate many, many more people without falling into the trap that only literacy skills educates people, huh? That is one thing we have very clear we have established. We have tried out teachers coming in and training women to read and write. And we realize it helps only up to a point. Then the woman gets stuck because then she feels she has moved on at another level and doesn't see herself as part of the community.
Hierarchies and elites start creating themselves. The sense of community, of pulling together, is eroded. In Celine's eyes, the losses far outweigh any individual gains. Now, Jochen goes further. He says that much of India's secondary education based on the printed word is unnecessary and dangerous. It doesn't correspond to the real skills, the real education that poor people need to change
Not
their lives.
Not a single government official's interest in changing the environment of the payment dweller. But they're interested in changing, bring a change in their value and culture of the payment dwelling girl, child.
In the West, we say to be a full citizen and to be cultured, you must be literate.
Yeah, this literacy doesn't give me anything today in our society. The literacy-oriented, educated person knowledge is
Jochen believes literacy limits, not expands knowledge, because it tends to restrict knowledge to what's written down in books. So to acquire knowledge, you have to have access to those books. And there are other drawbacks. Manual skills get devalued. Oral cultures are undermined. Literacy creates expectations that cannot possibly be fulfilled. And literacy doesn't help much on the street.
Even more than that. When they handle demolitions, handling their families, if there's no meal in the house, she gets another meal ready for the family, even if there is no money, even if there is no firewood. Where does all that ingenuity come from? She doesn't need literacy skills to do that.
The irony is that most of the Maila Milan women, of course, want their kids to become white-collar workers. And most of them feel embarrassed that they can't read or write. They equate literacy with status and education with the classroom, when the real school is right here on the doorstep.
Come and say that, I don't know to talk, I don't tell anything, I don't know about the society, I don't do anything, I can't talk to that woman. I said, why can't you talk? What do you do in the morning? Oh, I wash my dishes. Then what do you do? After washing your dishes, you come out, you can't sit idle because of the culture. This is the nature of women. Then you get another woman. One, two, three, four. All the four sit and doing their counting business. While they're doing counting, learning counting, while they teach and talk about local politics, national politics, gossips, husband affairs, children affair, own affair, sexual affair, everything has been taught on that communication mission.
You'll see the women combing out each other's hair, picking at each other's scalps, or washing clothes together, cleaning the rice, and telling stories, exchanging experiences, almost always learning and without knowing it. Fine, I can accept that. But suppose the BMC, the Bombay Municipal Corporation, does what it's supposed to do by law and posts a notice on the lamppost announcing a demolition within 24 hours. Now, if you can't read, you're going to be up a gum tree. Not so, says Jockey.
The notice is simple, says you will be demolished.
Okay.
I need not to be literate to get to know what section, what department, who served the notice on me.
Yeah.
Because the notice is very simple, very clear, you will be demolished in 24 hours. It's a common message.
You need to be able to read that.
There is no need that individual, because of the collective, the atmosphere of the society is this. You get the message.
What Jockin's saying in his unique body English is that a sense of community still holds amongst the poor in India. So if I don't know how to read, I ask someone who can. And I ask someone else where to go and register my protest, whom to see and what to say. Skills, in other words, tend to be pooled and then shared out.
Now, 3. Priyan Vishnu,
kitna rupiya?
50 rupiya. 50 rupees. Loan repaid.
50.
While we've been talking, Sona's walked in with a shopping bag full of savings books and rupee notes. She sits down opposite Rashida. She takes a ballpoint pen and painstakingly starts carving, it's the only word for it, carving entries into the ledger. This is hard work for Sona, and something brand new. Roman letters and symbols are Greek to her. She can only understand how to form a zero if she thinks of it as an egg. But she's determined to learn because for Sona, encouraging people to save money for their houses is almost a religion. Now, isn't this a contradiction with what Celine and Jockin have just been telling me? Not at all, says Jockin.
It's a very, very totally functional, need-based literacy. Which will not, you know, she will not learn something which she doesn't want it to connect with. But, you know, she's not going to be one, use literacy for a status quo.
For a status.
The day before, Sona had brought along to the office Triveni, a Gavali or Madame in one of the brothels on 14th Gully. Now, I've forgotten why Triveni had come. But Celine says Triveni proves her point.
Lakhs of rupees every night just sitting at the brothel. And she doesn't have any calculator with her. She doesn't write. It's all in her head. The next morning she can give you the whole accounts without putting it down on paper. I think one has to also acknowledge there is a stereotype imagery of what education is all about. For people who do not read and write, they use their other faculties. And one has to strengthen that and use that creatively instead of saying everything has to be put down on paper. And that's the reason why this partnership with Spark and NSDF works, because Spark provides this literacy component as a support for them. And so we are not negating the idea completely that everybody has to be illiterate and not read and write. If there are certain some of them who are ready to take it on without in any way disrupting the status quo of the group, that would be the ideal situation.
I'm not saying literacy isn't a wonderful thing. Where would I be without it? But it's only a means, not an end. It won't empower you. It can help, but it's only one possible tool amongst many. And while it may work for some, it may be a waste of time for others. Living with the women of Maila Milan has taught me one thing, that real empowerment happens inside people's minds. What the catalyst is anybody's guess. I'm Julian Crandall-Hollick in Mumbai.